On walks up to the edge of the Tumen River on the border between North Korea and China. With his senses on high alert, he scans the border for Chinese guards, whose assignment is to catch people like him. At the narrowest points of the river, where it is only about 50 meters wide, An can easily see North Korea from where he stands. He's being paid a handsome fee for being one of two middlemen smuggling outside goods into North Korea, and he will receive the second half of his payment upon completing the mission. Certain that he isn't being watched by Chinese security personnel or North Korean border guards, An empties his bags into a plastic bin and wraps the bin in a plastic bag to waterproof it. He then methodically ties this package to a sturdy wire and, gripping one end of the wire tightly, hurls the bin across the river. Silence surrounds him as his eyes follow the arc of the bin in the air. It lands in the water, close to where Ku stands. Ku is the second middleman who will take these outside goods into North Korea. On the other side of the river, standing in North Korean territory, Ku has a much more dangerous job. If North Korean border guards catch him engaging in any unauthorized trade, especially possession of this package, he could be beaten or sentenced to a political prison camp. Ku quietly walks into the river to grab the bucket, which is still attached to the wire that An holds. After grabbing it, Ku climbs out of the river, removes his incriminating wet clothes, and discards them. He changes into a dry outfit and casually makes his way back into a city where he will sell these goods. 100 USB drives on the black market to eager North Koreans. That's from the opening of June Baik's North Korea's Hidden Revolution, How the Information Underground is Transforming a Closed Society. It can be said that North Korea is an enigma, wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a question. That old quote applies so well to the nation of North Korea, a land and a people who have vaulted into the spotlight of recent news events. What better time, then, to review a book that has hit the library shelves recently, seeking to pull back the thick series of curtains that shroud the hermit nation. Because the impact of contemporary communications technology is the theme and the lens through which we look at North Korea and North Korea's hidden revolution, as our young and deeply involved author writes about his experiences. This is a revolution, he tells us, that is happening quietly with stealth, and is motivated by the average North Korean citizen's natural curiosity and interest in the world around them. It is fed by both international governments and NGOs, or non-government organizations. These include both secular and religious groups, who offer access, most often clandestine, as we just heard, to entertainment and information that the North Korean government seeks to block its citizens from accessing. Often, as our book's author goes on to tell us, at the risk of severe punishment and sometimes even death for those North Koreans caught consuming K-pop, Radio Free Asia, or those computer drives loaded with the latest South Korean or Chinese soap operas. For any or all of it shows North Koreans that the outside world, be it their neighbors in South Korea or China, or those from far off Europe and North America, live lives often very different, almost always with better access to consumer goods. And so, as today's book points out, the efforts by North Korea's ruling family and thus government to block outside influences from coming into the nation are gargantuan, rivaling any of those dreamed up by novelists and film directors to bring fictional fear and trepidation to their readers and viewers. But in North Korea, of course, these fears and trepidations are the stuff of everyday life. North Korea's Hidden Revolution is made all the more of a page-turner because of the author's use of first-person narratives to tell tales of real-life intrigue and fear. The names may be altered, but the brief moments of life we read about are real. Why and how is this information revolution within North Korea even needed? Well, the opening of the former Eastern Europe and Soviet Union empires of China to something resembling open societies has captivated us for the last three decades or so, and we've often forgotten since then that the North Korean governing philosophy is not a pure strain of any contemporary philosophy likely to follow a similar path to what we like to call modernity, North Korea's is not a pure strain of Marxist-Leninist communism. It's not Maoism. And it's certainly not capitalism or socialism. No, North Korea, as we learn again and again, has developed its own form of government and governmental control, a governing philosophy that emphasizes the eternal nature of the governing family, the Kims, and at the same time, the need to run North Korea both inside and outside as a centrally controlled nation, using the North Korean homegrown philosophy known as Juche, which focuses its people's attention inward and not out, putting its people's interest in being guided by the ruling family and its desires for what it sees as the future of the Korean nation. So how do we folks living outside and looking into this country, this murky society, including the U.S. president for that matter, come to any point of communicating about the larger world with the North Korean people? Perhaps, our book tells us, in the oddest and perhaps most ironic turn of fate, those of us outside and those inside North Korea can perhaps come to terms and speak to one another through the everyday values of entertainment and curiosity that I mentioned earlier. In the developed world, and increasingly the developing world as well, this natural human curiosity, the thirst for fun, and sometimes learning, is most often satisfied by nascent forms of what we have come to call capitalism. Capitalism, you say? Yes, North Korea's government celebrates its communist beginnings and current international allies. But as our author points out again and again, a series of failed efforts by the central government to feed its population all but fell apart outside the capital city in the mid-1990s. And since then, a nascent black market, now hewing into gray markets, we're told, has been growing in North Korea to provide for the day-to-day needs of the population instead of the government's abilities to do so. And it is with that slow rise of a black and now gray market that have come the first real efforts to slake North Koreans' thirst for foreign entertainment products, especially those from South Korea and China. But it is not entertainment alone that is sneaking its way into the closed system. Enter the insinuation of snippets of news and information as well, from the broadcasts of the now seemingly old-fashioned Voice of America radio, to the potentially much larger amounts of information, with its own balance, granted, of both real and fake news, that can come in through the widespread use, if always not availability, of foreign-produced thumb drives, those which we heard about at the opening of this review. Because of their small size, they're much easier than print, magazines, books, or films to smuggle into the hermit nation. Yes, a technology that, oddly enough, paralleled that of the nascent growth of those North Korean black markets is now one of the major ways of getting information and entertainment into the North Korea of today. North Korea's hidden revolution ends with a chapter titled provocatively, quote, Implications, Predictions, and a Call to Action, end quote. It's an effort by our author to help us, and our author perhaps, understand what these chinks in the armor of the North Korean wall against outside ideas may mean for the future of the North Korean people. It begins with these words, quote, The pockets of social and cultural change springing up across the most closed society on Earth are irreversible. North Korea as we know it today is not the one that the founder Kim Il-sung, his successor Kim Jong-il, or even Kim Jong-un intended to create and sustain. Some joke that if Kim Il-sung were alive today, he would not recognize the country due to North Korea's widespread private marketization and citizens' knowledge about the world outside its borders. When members of an authoritarian state learn about the wider world, our author continues, the implications are manifold. First, people learn to distrust the government and to skirt the rules to support themselves. Hypothetically, not a single citizen should be marketeering inside North Korea because the government is supposed to provide for all. But it is clear to many North Korean citizens today they do not live in a socialist paradise, so the markets flourish. End quote. Finally, a note about the author and why he's worthy of your and my attention. He became involved with North Korea's gradual opening to outside thoughts and ideas while still a student at Harvard University. And he's gone on to work with non-government organizations to continue the quiet revolution that he claims is going on in North Korea. He has knowledge to share and wisdom to impart. And so let's end, as our author does, with these words from that last provocatively titled chapter. He writes, "A friend from North Korea once told me over coffee, quote, people say mountains change in about 10 years. If something is stubborn and mammoth as a mountain can change in a decade, the hearts of ordinary North Koreans can change. I'm sure of it. I'm living proof. I'm from North Korea. North Korea is my home, and I revere the soil that my family tilled. But I grew to embrace democracy over time as I settled in my new home in South Korea. It's hard, and lots of things are still confusing in a democratic country. But if mountains can change, humans can change. North Koreans are humans too, you know, just like you, me, and the reader. North Koreans can and will adapt to newer, better circumstances. I'm sure of it." It's an upbeat end to a book that has a lot of mystery, a lot of subterfuge, a lot of what could be, what might be. North Korea's Hidden Revolution, subtitled How the Information Underground is Transforming a Closed Society. It's quite an interesting read, especially in these days and months of all the attention focused on that nation. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.